Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25, Bible says, submit. Oh, isn't that just a wonderful word? Would you say it with me? Submit.
Submit.
Yeah, that's a message for you to submit. It says, submit. Say that again with me.
Submit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're catching on right now. Okay. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. That's a lot of submission. Can I get a witness on that? Whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong. Hope you're not doing wrong. And to commend those who do right. For it is God's will. It's God's will for you to do something. It is God's will for that you, by doing good, should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live lives as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Sounds kind of weird. Talk about that. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable. Would you say that word? Commendable? It is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer, this is in the Bible, folks, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, and this is a biggie, instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Last two verses. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins, live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you have something in store for us, Lord. That you are mighty and awesome, Lord, that you give guidance and direction. Lord, I pray that you would bind every distraction this morning, Lord, that you would meet us here, that you would guide and direct our time, and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. There are those that have never been here before this morning, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Let them know that this is a place for them, Lord, that this is a place where they can hear your voice. This is a place where they can be formed up in you. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Friday was a big day in our house. It forever was changed. My son, the drummer who was racing, if you were here earlier, heard some description of him. But he took his driver's ed test, and he now has his driver's license. He can, you know, and you know, it's not like when we were kids, when you get your driver's license, you just drive. Now, oh, no, you can't drive after, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. You can't take anybody, drive anybody around that's under 18, all these restrictions. But he is legal. So he decided that, you know, I am now legal. I got to go drive somewhere. And so my wife gave him permission, and he drove out to Mission Valley. Now, we live just next off-ramp down. And so, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles, and went up there. And he went to Active, right? Is that the fine shirt you got that you're wearing? That's it. Okay. And he came out, and he had lost the car. Now, I had my wife's phone and said, Mom, I lost the car. She says, well, you got to find it. You know, it's out there someplace. And so it took him a little while, and then he found the car. And then he realized that he had no clue how to get home. So he had lost the car, and then he had lost himself. It is a real challenge. It's a real challenge living lost. Amen? Amen? We're in a series formed by God. And God will take you out of darkness and into the light. God will let you be found and not be lost. Isn't that, don't we just love that? You know, it's a lot better being found. When he found the car, he was feeling good. When he walked in the door, he was feeling even better. It's like, whoo, I'm home. Doesn't it feel good when you surrender your life to the Lord and you're no longer lost and you are found? Amen? You know, now Joe was, you know, driving around. He wasn't doing much good. You know, I mean, God wants more from you than just being found. I mean, some people think, I'm found, now I'm done. I'm going to show up, George's going to cook me barbecue, and that is all I got to do. That is not all you got to do. Because what we are talking about today is we're talking about having a life of impact. We're talking about a life that you can build up wealth. How many people want to be rich? Amen? Jesus said, store for yourselves up, what? Wealth in heaven. Amen? Now, Peter is talking about what you got to do to get some money heading up toward heaven before you get there. Because guess what? The only way you get money up in heaven is to send it now. We're talking about deposits in heaven. And I hope you're making some. And we're not really talking about money. We're talking about whatever it is that God notices in your life. And he says, well done. And I hope you're doing that. Are we good? Can we take a look at that? All right, let's take a look. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. We are surrounded by opportunity. We are surrounded by opportunity to make heavenly deposits. And those deposits are going to take some effort. Peter says, you submit to the authority structure, the power structure around you. He says, he talks about the king and he talks about governors. If we were talking today, he might say, submit yourselves for God's sake to the president. Now, there's a lot of people who got a problem with the president. He might say, submit yourselves to the governor. Who knows who our governor is? Governor Jerry Brown, right? Now, some people say, man, he messed up California 20 years ago, and he's trying to do it again. Those people would not be submitting themselves to the governor. Can I get a witness? He might also say, submit yourselves for God's sake to the chief of police. Because these guys are here to take care of business. They are here to take care of people who are doing bad. They are here to recognize those who are doing good. Submit yourself to them. Now, you might be thinking, Jerry Brown ain't done nothing good for me. I was talking to a guy at AutoZone the other day. I was checking the lights on the car so that Joe can take the test, you know, because if you can't, got all the lights and everything blinking. And he said, yeah, you know, now you get a fix-it ticket, they fine you. I said, yeah, it's like $10. He says, no, it's $25. He says, yeah, the governor's got to get it. And this other guy wouldn't even talk to him. Yeah, the governor's, you know, some people just think, no, man, they're just here to roust me. Some of you guys grow up that way. It's like the police are the bad guys. Yeah. The police are out to get us. We have to protect ourselves from the bad guys. This is the way the Christians were living back in the day. Because they could be arrested just for being Christian. And the Romans, they had all this news. Man, these Christians are bad guys. They're a problem. Arrest them. Take their property and beat them up. How's that for messed up? Is that messed up? That is messed up. How'd you like to be in this neighborhood, have cops sitting out here waiting? Oh, they go to a city arts assembly. Bust them. And you know what? Peter says, submit to these guys. Say, what? That doesn't work for me. Does that work for anybody? Like, whoa, we're going to unfold that. He says, Peter is writing to the beginning of this letter, talks about Pontus and Bithynia and all these areas, basically most of the northern section of Turkey, which is a big area. He says, I'm writing to all you guys. He says, I want you to start acting different so that you can have an impact. You can have an impact on the leadership structure of all everything going on around you. Does that interest you? All right, we're going to take a look at this some more. He says, you can change things by doing good. You can change the bad stuff that's going on around you by the choices that you make. For it is God's will. God's will, that's a big thing, amen? This is God's desire for you that you should make different choices than you're making right now. Is that okay? Does God get to speak to your heart and speak into your life and says, I want you to act differently today than you did yesterday because I say so? So Peter says, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant. Would you say ignorant?
Ignorant.
Talk of foolish. Would you say foolish?
Foolish.
You got ignorant talk by foolish men. I mean, that's not, it doesn't add up to a win. Can I get a witness on that? Ignorant, he is talking about the ignorant talk, the untrained, they have not been properly educated in Christian life. And he's talking about these foolish men are the king and the governors. We're going to take it and put it into our reference, the president. You know what? The president has not got the greatest love for the church. That is dead on. He's got a great love for the government and not a great love for the church. And I'll tell you what, Caesar had no love for the church either. Amen? Our governor has no great love for the church. I don't know about the chief of police. But he is saying that the political structure of the day was ignorant to the life of Christianity. We are not like what they think we're like. And we don't merit the treatment that they are how they are treating us. Pilate had the wrong idea about Jesus. Amen? Hey, bust this guy. He's leading all kinds of stuff. He's leading insurrection. Crucify this guy. And Pilate talked to him and said, what? I find no fault in this guy. Right? He said, we're going to educate the governor and the king by changing our actions. And it's going to be hard. Amen? Peter says, you can stand out by doing good. He says, there's ignorant people out there. They're thinking the wrong thing because they've been told the wrong thing. We're going to give them an education through our actions. There was going around that Christians were a real problem. In fact, we go back to chapter 12. He says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, there was all kinds of accusations going on right at the Christians. You act differently. You show them by your actions that there is no merit for these accusations. Can you do that? Do you do that? Do you want to do that? Is there a desire to do that? Because when you do that, people take notice. Amen? Wednesday night, at the end of service, good service, Pastor Paul did his thing, and Sharon, everybody was there, and all of a sudden, this somebody, I think it was Mike, came up and said, there's a young man that wants to talk to you. I mean, we're done. Oh, it was Richard, okay. And I'm like, okay, church is done. It's 9 o'clock, 9:15. We go out there, and it's two of our neighbors have brought this kid who was really a 25-year-old kid, young man, I guess, old man to you young people, brought him in, and he is just distraught. I mean, he's like deranged. And I'm really thinking, why are you guys who have never, ever come to the church bringing this guy to us for help? And I turned to him. I said, why don't you come? And one of the people that brought him was a young lady. And she says, I'm going to come. She's not here today. I'm going to come one of these days. I was sitting out there singing, I know all your songs. I said, you should come. She said, I'm going to. And the other guy was this crusty old dude. And he's yelled at me before. And he says, yeah, you know what? I'm getting ready to come over there too. Because my life is getting so bad. I need a change. That is the impact that you can make, that we can make on ignorant men, on untrained people. He says, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God the day he visits us. There's only one way they're going to glorify God, and that's if they receive him as their Savior. Amen? We can impact, we can make a change. Got to do good things. Amen? All right, number two, everyone makes choices. Everybody here, you made choices to come here tomorrow. This morning, there's some people said, I'm not going. It's too much of a hassle. He says, live as free men. That's a technical word. We're going to use that and come back to that in a minute. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Anybody think that's a harsh word right there? That's a challenging word. Amen? Amen. Peter says, make good choices. I'm going to bring this around. But man, we're talking about slavery, we're talking about harshness, we're talking about all this stuff, and Peter's saying, hey, you submit to that. That does not seem like the most just setup that we would put together. Amen? Amen. There were three kinds of people in Roman society. There were slaves, there were freedmen, and there were citizens. And they all had different levels of freedom and rights. Slaves had almost no rights. Freemen were above slaves, and citizens had rights to vote. They did not have to subject themselves to local laws and all those things. Peter is writing to local inhabitants that were not slaves, and some who were slaves. Haven't seen a reference to citizens, but he's saying, you guys are free men. He says, you guys get to make choices. Don't use the fact that you have the ability to make choices to make poor choices. Because in Roman society, they were surrounded by bad stuff. I'll tell you what, you walk down University Avenue. University Avenue? University Boulevard. Avenue. You work down University, you are surrounded by all kinds of bad options. Amen? And there's a lot of people say, you know, everybody's doing it. Peter says, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean you have got to be doing it. In fact, I want you to make choices that are going to change people's thought process about you and about the church and about the Lord. He says, don't waste the opportunities that you have. He says, I got three areas I want you to make good choices in. Number one, you can love the brotherhood. Love the church, love the, not the building, but all these people. If Peter was here today, he'd say, this is the brotherhood right here. This is the gathering of believers. I want you to show your love for Christ by your love for one another. Does that make sense? Amen. He says, second area, I want you to fear God. I want you to be thinking about, I don't know, Jesus is looking at me right now. I don't know if I really should be doing this. I don't know, if Jesus was riding on your shoulder, and guess what? Jesus knows everything. Jesus was riding on your shoulder, knew everything that you did last week, and guess what? He knows everything. He knows what you did last week. Would you be smiling or would you be frowning? Because when you think, he says, I want you to live with a fear of the Lord in your mind, it will change the choices that you make. Can I get a witness on that? And he says also, third area I want you to make good choices is honoring the king. Even though this king, Caesar at that point considered himself a god. See, how do we honor that? We honor that because we're going to let God handle him. And we're going to line up in the situations that God has put us in, and we are going to be the best people as a display on what he's done in our lives. Amen? And he talks about slaves, not just freedom, but slaves. Slaves, you guys submit to your masters. And we're like, slavery is just downright wrong. But that's not what Peter's talking about. He's saying, you have the opportunity to send a message to that harsh master, to everybody around, to the other slaves, of what Christ can do in your life. Your choices can make an impact. Amen?
Amen.
This is uphill. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
All right. Why? Well, I told you why, but I haven't told you the next thing Peter's going to tell us. Why should a slave submit to harsh treatment? Why should these Christians submit to a Caesar who declares himself to be God? Why should Christians submit themselves to unjust suffering? And he says, it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. Because he's thinking about God. Because he's living for the Lord. He's trying to make a statement. He's trying to be an impact. He says it's commendable. He says, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating? And he's talking about that word beating is to receive a beating with fists. How is it to your credit? How is it to your benefit? How is it to the positive side of your account if you take a beating for doing wrong? And he's saying it's not to your benefit. You're just getting what you deserve. Lie, cheat, and steal, get caught. Get beat down. You don't get anything for that. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, check it out. This is commendable before God. God's paying attention. Not only does Jesus know what you did last week, Jesus is keeping track of what you did last week. Now, some of you are smiling about that, and some of you are less than happy. God's paying attention. There's a lot of suffering going on. You might be familiar with suffering. You familiar with suffering? He's talking about this getting beat down. And he's talking about two ways to get a beating. And I'm going to add a third. The first is if you're doing wrong. Talking about lying, cheating, stealing, you get caught around here? You silly. You lying, cheating, stealing, you get caught around here? Bad things happen. Amen? Bad things are going to happen. And oh well. Now, I'm going to add in mine. You can suffer down here for just being here. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, this is the neighborhood. Sometimes you are just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Right? I mean, it's just like suffering for not doing nothing wrong. Hey, I'm just here. Bam, bam, bam. We want your money. That's not what Peter's talking about here. So you can suffer for doing wrong. You can suffer for doing nothing. And then he says, you can suffer for doing good. He says, if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. He says, God takes notice when you're suffering for him. And I'll tell you what, George isn't here right now. He's missing this great sermon. Mediocre sermon. Great sermon. And he's out there, you know what he's doing? He's lighting the grill. He's lighting the grill so that you guys can have lunch. Now, guess what happens if he burns his hand on that grill? He's suffering, right? Suffering why? For you? No, because he's serving the Lord by serving you, right? And Jesus is up there going, oh, George, burnt hand. Serving the Lord. Ka-ching. Little deposit going ahead of George to heaven. You know how you get deposits in heaven? They only come from here. They only come from here, and they only come from doing good. So I'm wondering, what'd you do this week? How's your account? There are people, their only purpose being here is to serve God. They aren't even from here. Ann and Paul, they're from Ohio. They are following the call of the Lord, being here, serving God. Anything that happens to them down here is suffering for God. Does that make sense? Contrast that with Natty, who brought her daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter today. A little round of applause for Miss Natty. Glad to have you guys here. We got free lunch for you, by the way. I don't know if we got milk for the kid, but we got something good. But granddaughter, shouldn't call her kid. Natty, how long did you live across the street? 17 years. Lived right up there. Christina used to live right up there next to her, right up there on 37th Street. Right? Natty didn't move here. Natty just lived here. And there's all kinds of you. Sandra, right up the street, lived down there, and then she moved over there. George, Elisale, Lorenzo, many of you guys just came for the food. Amen? Can I get a witness on that, right? Oh, just came for the food and found something more, right? George came for the food, right? Now he's serving. See, there are those who receive the call of God, come in, and they just come into the danger zone, and everything that happens while they're in the danger zone because they are responding to the call of God is added to their account. There are those of us that were just here, just being normal, but you step up because you're conscious of God. Aaron Bugs leading the bike, what do you call that thing, bike-a-thon? Cruise for Christ, I'm sorry. Teaching the youth. Sandra singing, Lily teaching the kids. There are those of us that are here that step up into the service of the Lord, and because of that suffer, because of that endure hardship, because of that there is challenges that come because of our life. And you know what God says when you do that? Ka-ching. Yeah. Sending it ahead to heaven. Richard back there, he does some suffering every Sunday. Gets here at 9, and the worship team's going, I can't hear, I can't do this. And they treat him nice. But I tell you what, it is hard to serve this worship team. Suffering going on, and the Lord says, ka-ching. Amen? Amen?
Right.
Praise the Lord. All right, does that make sense? Only one way you get deposits in heaven, that's if you make them now. God wants you to go up with a nice, fat account. All right, number three. Jesus is our example. To this you were called. To this you were called. You're sitting here today. I don't care if you're a first-time visitor. To this you were called. Why? Because God's speaking to you right now through his word. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. I ain't taking that. No. That's not the way Jesus died. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, this is a biggie, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. We can trust the judge, folks. We can trust the judge. Everything that Jesus did on this earth went to his account. Why? He answered the call. He left heaven to come here and suffer. They beat him. They hung him on nails. And they killed him. He went to the cross. And he went through the cross. And he did not retaliate. He surrendered himself instead to God. And that's the key. That's what Peter's getting to here. Surrender in the midst of your challenge, in the midst of your suffering, if you will surrender yourself to God, it will be okay. You can fight your fight, or you can let God fight your fight. Amen? You say, wait a minute, okay, Jesus died, right? And what did he get? a name above every name. What are you getting? What is in your account? What are you sending ahead? What are you storing up there? Jesus surrendered himself to a God who judges justly. And I don't know if that is really what you want this morning. In the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your challenge, in the midst of your trial, I don't know if you're really looking for a God who judges justly. I have prayed with you. Usually, in the midst of suffering, we want the God who stops suffering. God, I'm suffering. Would you stop it? Would you step in and would you fix my pain? Would you fix my drama? And I'm telling you, if God was going to stop the drama to anyone, it would have been to his one and only son. On the cross, he would have said, no, don't put no nails in his hands. Don't beat him. Don't taunt him. But we serve the God who takes notice. Because Jesus got what? The name that's above every name. Jesus did what? Jesus saved creation from sin. My question for you this morning is, what are you doing? What are you able to do? Because Jesus said, because we set an example, we should follow. We should be following the Lord. Last thing, Jesus died so you could make a change. So we could make a change. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter says that Jesus died that we might be healed. Healed in our entire existence. The keeper of our souls would begin to usher us into an eternal existence. That we might move from bad to good. He says you don't have to live lost. You can live found. You can live found by the one who is caring for your soul. It was tough for Jesus. At least you can come up and sing. It's going to be tough for us. Imagine what he did. He redeemed creation. What can you do? You know, we come to Jesus all messed up in our lives. We come, Bible tells us, with a debt that no one can pay. Know what I'm talking about? It says that there is so much sin banked up against us, it is like a $10 million debt, and you're making 10 bucks an hour. There's no way you can pay it off. And you come to Jesus, and you surrender your life to him, and he will wipe the slate clean. Amen? He will take you out of darkness and into light. And you come, and if you have done that, you come to the Lord, and your account is free and clear and empty. And Peter is saying, you can start building up some heavenly wealth. You build it up by the choices that you make. Joe was pretty worthless driving around on Friday. Lost the car, lost himself. Say, Joe, can you pick something up for me? Can you do this? I can't even find the car. Oh, the key was broken. You know, don't make excuses. That's next week. Excuses is next week. Just own your issue. But, see, more than just being found, there's going to come a day like today, 2 days later. He raced home, grabbed his drum module, was able to hook it up, and we had to move one song, and we were back on track. He had impact. You can have impact. You can go from just being found to making a deposit in heaven. My question is, what went up this week? Anything? We've got so many opportunities around here serving the brotherhood. Not so much on honoring the king. But we can work on some deposits. Maybe you come in here this morning just thinking, I am so messed up. I'm so messed up. I've not even considered the Lord. And this morning I realize that I have got my account all stacked up with debt that I can never pay. And I'm no worldly good to anybody. I can't do anything for the Lord. But right now from heaven, he'll reach down and say, I'll save you. I'll take you from darkness to light, and we can start. I'll get you to zero, and we can start working on the rest. Because zero, at one point in your life, is a pretty good place to be. Amen? You come out of darkness, you get to zero, and you're feeling good. I was feeling good. Lord, I come to you this morning, Lord, and there's a lot of folks here, Lord, that I don't know who they are, Lord, but you have known them since they were born. You know the hairs on their head. You know their name, Lord. You have known them from creation past, Lord. You call them to this place this morning, Lord, knowing they come in, their account just debt-ridden, just filled with debt and sin and garbage and poor choices. And from heaven you say, this morning, I'll set you free. This morning you don't have to be lost anymore. You can be found. And you can make a new start. Nobody looking around. But the Lord right now is just speaking right to your heart. And you're saying, Lord, I need that. Nobody looking around. The Lord speaking to your heart. And you're saying, I don't want to be lost anymore. I need to be found. I'm willing to surrender my life to the Lord. I got to get to even. That's you this morning. With nobody looking around, I just want you to slide your hand up because I want to pray for you, and also I want you to just reach your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you here and here, here, there, 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 yes, hallelujah. Back here, back there. Put your hand down. God's all over you right now. You didn't put your hand up. You did not put your hand up, and right now God is saying, are you kidding me? Really? I set this all up for you? What? All those other people too, but for you, it is time to start submitting to me. God's speaking to your heart. You didn't put your hand up before, and right now, you're going, oh, I feel bad. Last shot. Anybody else? Back there, yeah. Anybody else? Here, yeah. There, yeah. Praise the Lord, there. Yes, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you that you are so awesome and mighty. Lord, I thank you that you take us out of darkness into light, from being lost to being found, and then you give us opportunity to make heavenly investments. I don't know what it's going to be like when we get up there, Lord, but I don't want to show up broke. I want to be able to go to the snack bar. Lord, I just want to be able to just worship and serve you. All my days.